A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
You walk into any gas station in America, and there it is. Rows of Gatorade bottles, and on the label, right up front, hydrates better than water. Your gut says the FDA would never let that slide. And then you read it again and think, wait, did they actually clear this? Daniel's visiting family in the States, still dealing with complications from gallbladder surgery. Plain tap water sits in his stomach like a rock, but Gatorade goes down easy. He noticed the claim on the bottle, and it stopped him. He wants to know whether the FDA reviewed and cleared that claim, what the science behind the electrolytes actually is, and why a post-surgical gut might prefer Gatorade over water.
Three questions folded into one, and they're all good. The FDA angle, the physiology, and the personal experience that makes the whole thing more than academic.
So let's put that claim under the microscope. What does Gatorade actually mean when it says hydrates better than water? And is it true?
Let's start with the obvious question. Has the FDA actually signed off on this?
That's what I want to know. If a drug company put words better than the leading brand on a bottle, they'd need clinical trials and a new drug application and 3 years of review.
Right, but Gatorade isn't a drug. It's regulated as a food. And food label claims don't require pre-market FDA approval the way drugs do. The FDA can challenge a food claim after the fact if it's false or misleading, but they don't pre-clear it. So the short answer to Daniel's question is no. The FDA didn't review and approve that claim before it went on the bottle.
So PepsiCo just put it there.
They put it there, and the FDA hasn't formally challenged it. That's different from the FDA blessing it. The claim sits in what you'd call a regulatory gray zone. It's specific enough to sound like a measurable promise, hydrates better than water, but vague enough that it's hard to pin down as a quantifiable health claim. What does better mean? Faster absorption? Longer retention? More complete uptake? The label doesn't say.
Which is probably the point.
Almost certainly. And to understand how we got here, we need to look at the lawsuit that tried to stop Gatorade from saying this at all.
Someone sued.
In 2020, a class action suit was filed against PepsiCo. The plaintiffs argued the hydrates better than water, claim was false and misleading advertising. They pointed to the FDA's own guidance, and this is where it gets interesting, that water is the quote gold standard for hydration. Their argument was straightforward. If water is the gold standard, you can't claim to be better than the gold standard without proving it.
That sounds like a pretty good argument.
It does, and it went nowhere. PepsiCo moved to dismiss, and they won. The court dismissed the case in 2021. But here's the thing. The dismissal wasn't about the science. It was about legal standing and the definition of puffery.
Puffery? Explain that.
Puffery is a legal term for vague, subjective boasts that no reasonable consumer would interpret as a factual claim. World's best coffee, America's favorite pizza, that kind of thing. PepsiCo argued that hydrates better than water is puffery. It's a marketing slogan, not a measurable assertion. And the court agreed. The judge ruled that the claim was non-actionable puffery, and the plaintiffs hadn't shown they'd suffered a concrete injury from buying Gatorade based on that claim.
So the court didn't say the claim was true. It said the claim was too fuzzy to be false.
That's the distinction that most coverage missed. The dismissal wasn't a scientific endorsement. It was a legal determination that this kind of language lives in the zone of marketing hyperbole, not factual representation. If Gatorade had said absorbs 30% faster than water as measured by deuterium tracer studies, that would be a testable claim and they'd need to back it up. But hydrates better is just vague enough to be legally safe.
Which means we're in this weird situation where a product can make a claim that sounds scientific. Consumers reasonably assume it's been vetted, and the actual legal protection is that nobody should have taken it seriously in the first place.
That's the tension. And it's not unique to Gatorade. The whole sports drink category operates this way. But Gatorade's claim is the boldest, and it's been on the label for years without the FDA stepping in.
So the claim is legally safe. That doesn't tell us whether it's physiologically true. What's the actual science?
This is where it gets interesting, because there's a real mechanism. It's not made up. Gatorade's formulation relies on something called sodium glucose cotransport. In your small intestine, there are these transporter proteins called SGLT1 that stands for sodium glucose link transporter 1. They sit in the lining of the gut and they work as a pair. They grab one sodium ion and one glucose molecule and pull them both into the bloodstream together.
And water follows.
Water follows osmotically. When you move sodium and glucose across the intestinal wall, you create a local osmotic gradient, and water gets pulled along for the ride. This is active transport. The body is spending energy to move these molecules, and water comes along passively but efficiently. Plain water doesn't have that. Plain water is absorbed through aquaporins, water channels in the cell membrane, and it moves purely by osmotic gradients. There's no active pump helping it along.
So Gatorade is essentially tricking the gut into absorbing water faster by giving it something to chase.
The glucose and sodium are the bait, and the water follows. This is the exact same mechanism behind WHO oral rehydration solution, the stuff that saves millions of children's lives every year from cholera and diarrheal diseases. ORS was developed in the 1960s and 70s based on the discovery of sodium glucose cotransport, and it's one of the most important medical advances of the 20th century.
So Gatorade is basically oral rehydration solution with better marketing.
Not quite, and the differences matter. Let me give you the numbers. A 12-ounce serving of Gatorade contains about 110 milligrams of sodium and 21 grams of sugar. The equivalent amount of WHO oral rehydration solution contains about 260 milligrams of sodium and roughly 9 grams of sugar. So Gatorade has less than half the sodium and more than double the sugar.
Why?
Taste. Oral rehydration solution is salty and not particularly sweet. It's medicine. Gatorade is a consumer product designed to be palatable enough that people will drink it voluntarily, in large quantities, and buy more. The sugar isn't there primarily for the cotransport mechanism, though it does serve that function. It's there because sugar tastes good.
So the formulation is a compromise between physiology and sales.
And that compromise has real consequences for when the claim is actually true. The hydrates better than water claim is physiologically defensible in a narrow specific context during prolonged exercise with significant sweat loss. When you're sweating heavily, you're losing water and sodium. Plain water replaces the water but not the sodium, and if you drink too much plain water without replacing electrolytes, you can develop hyponatremia, dangerously low blood sodium. Gatorade replaces both, and the sugar provides a small amount of rapidly available energy, which is relevant during endurance events.
So for a marathon runner in the heat, the claim holds up.
It holds up. The sodium glucose cotransport mechanism means the fluid is absorbed efficiently, the electrolytes replace what's lost in sweat, and the sugar helps maintain blood glucose. In that context, Gatorade probably does hydrate better than water, if by better you mean more complete replacement of what the body is losing.
But for someone sitting at a desk?
For someone sitting at a desk, it's sugar water with a little salt. The claim isn't true in any meaningful sense. You're not losing electrolytes, you don't need rapid fluid absorption, and the extra sugar is just empty calories. Water hydrates you perfectly well.
So the claim is true in a context most people are never in, and false in the context most people buy the product.
That's the tension. And PepsiCo is careful never to specify the context on the label. They let the consumer fill in the blank.
Which brings us back to Daniel. Because he's not a marathon runner and he's not sitting at a desk, he's recovering from gallbladder surgery, and his experience doesn't fit either bucket.
And that's where this gets really interesting, because the narrow context where the claim is true, that's exactly where Daniel's experience lives, but for reasons the marketing never anticipated.
So the claim is legally safe, but scientifically narrow. But that narrow context, that's exactly where Daniel's experience lives.
Let's talk about what's happening in Daniel's gut. After gallbladder surgery, cholecystectomy, the bile system changes fundamentally. Normally, your gallbladder acts as a reservoir. It stores bile between meals and releases it in a concentrated burst when you eat. After the gallbladder is removed, bile just drips continuously from the liver into the small intestine. It's always there, at a lower concentration, instead of arriving in timed pulses.
And that changes how the small intestine handles everything that comes through.
It can. The small intestine isn't designed to have bile present constantly. The continuous drip can irritate the lining, alter transit time, and affect how fluids are absorbed. Some patients develop what's called post-cholecystectomy syndrome, a cluster of symptoms including bloating, discomfort, and altered bowel habits. And one of the things that shows up in the clinical literature, and anecdotally in surgical recovery forums, is that some patients find plain water harder to tolerate than electrolyte-containing beverages.
And Daniel's one of them. He said water doesn't sit well. It feels like it doesn't go down right.
The mechanism is likely related to something called gastric accommodation. That's the stomach's ability to relax and expand to receive food and liquid without increasing internal pressure. After abdominal surgery, that reflex can be impaired. The stomach is less compliant, less willing to stretch. Plain water, which is absorbed passively, may sit in the stomach or the upper small intestine longer, creating that sensation of fullness and discomfort.
And Gatorade moves through faster.
That's the hypothesis. When Gatorade hits the small intestine, the glucose and sodium activate those SGLT1 transporters, which actively pull water across the intestinal lining. This active transport pathway may be more resilient than passive absorption when the gut is inflamed or recovering from surgery. The fluid gets moved out of the lumen and into the bloodstream more efficiently, so it doesn't sit there causing bloating.
So it's not that Gatorade is somehow superior in a universal sense. It's that Daniel's gut has a harder time with the passive pathway, and Gatorade gives it an active pathway that still works.
That's exactly the picture. There's another factor too. Osmolarity. Gatorade has an osmolarity of about 320 to 360 milliosmoles per liter, which is slightly hypertonic compared to blood plasma at about 290. Plain water is hypotonic. It has essentially zero osmolarity. When hypotonic fluid hits the duodenum, it can trigger osmoreceptors that slow gastric emptying. The body says, wait, this isn't the right concentration, let's hold it here and adjust. A slightly hypertonic solution like Gatorade may actually stimulate more coordinated gastric emptying because it's closer to what the duodenum expects.
So the gut sees Gatorade and thinks, this looks about right, send it through. And sees plain water and thinks, hold up, let me figure out what to do with this.
That's a simplification, but directionally accurate. And post-surgically, when everything is more sensitive, that difference might be the thing that makes water feel like a brick and Gatorade feel fine.
How common is this? Daniel mentioned it's a minority experience.
It's well documented, but not universal. The clinical literature on postoperative ileus and post-cholecystectomy syndrome notes that some patients report better tolerance of electrolyte-containing beverages than plain water, but it's not something every surgeon warns you about. It tends to show up in patient forums and anecdotal reports more than in formal studies, partly because it's hard to design a trial around water feels bad and Gatorade doesn't.
But the physiology makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. The active transport pathway via SGLT1 is evolutionarily ancient and remarkably robust. It's the same mechanism that allows the gut to absorb fluid even during severe diarrheal illness. That's why oral rehydration solution works even when everything else is going wrong. If your gut is stressed from surgery, inflammation, altered bile flow, the passive aquaporin pathway might be sluggish, but the SGLT1 pathway is probably still functioning fine.
So Gatorade's marketing accidentally stumbled into a real physiological niche. Not hydrates better than water for everyone, but hydrates better than water for people whose guts can't efficiently absorb plain water.
And that's a much smaller market than everyone who exercises, so you can see why they went with the broader claim. But for Daniel, and for other post-surgical patients, the claim might actually be true in a way that has nothing to do with sports. The endurance athletes get some benefit. The post-surgical patients might get more. And the person buying a bottle at the gas station because they're thirsty gets none.
Let me ask you something. Daniel said tap water specifically doesn't sit well. Is there something about tap water versus bottled or filtered?
Probably not the water source itself. It's the absence of solutes that matters. Tap water, bottled water, filtered water, they're all essentially hypotonic, and they'll all trigger the same osmoreceptor response. The variable is what's dissolved in the water, not where the water came from.
So if Daniel added a pinch of salt and a little sugar to his tap water, he might get the same effect without the neon food coloring.
He would. And that's essentially what homemade oral rehydration solution is. The WHO recipe is 6 level teaspoons of sugar and half a teaspoon of salt per liter of water. That gives you roughly the right glucose to sodium ratio for optimal SGLT1 transport. It won't taste like Glacier Freeze, but it'll work.
And it'll cost about 3 cents instead of $2 a bottle.
The markup on Gatorade is staggering when you look at what's actually in it. Water, sugar, salt, citric acid, flavoring, food dye. The ingredients cost pennies. You're paying for the bottle, the distribution, the marketing, and the 30 years of Super Bowl ads.
The legal team that got hydrates better than water, classified as puffery.
That too.
There's one more piece of this I want to pull on. You mentioned the original formulation was different.
The 1965 formula. And that's where someone who actually made the stuff might have a different perspective.
They were right about the sodium.
I'm sorry?
110 milligrams per 12 ounces. That was the spec when I worked there. We tested every batch. If it was off by more than 5%, the whole run got dumped.
When was this?
1998. Chicago bottling plant. Quaker Oats had just bought the company. This was before PepsiCo came in and bought Quaker in 2001. I was in quality control. You'd pull samples off the line every 15 minutes and run them through a flame photometer to check sodium and potassium. The target for sodium was 110. Potassium was 30. Sugar was 21 grams. Those numbers were gospel.
The modern formulation was already locked in by the late 90s.
It was. But the R&D guys, we had a couple of them who'd been there since the 80s, they talked about the original formula all the time, the 1965 version. That was a different drink entirely.
Different how?
Twice the sodium, half the sugar. It was designed for the Florida Gators football team. They were getting heat exhaustion in that swamp humidity, and the team doctor worked with university researchers to figure out why. The players were losing electrolytes and replacing them with plain water, and their blood sodium was dropping. The original drink was meant to fix that. It was salty and not very sweet. The players hated the taste, but it worked.
And then they reformulated.
Mid-80s. They cut the sodium, cranked up the sugar, added more flavor options. It went from being a rehydration solution to being a sports soda. The R&D guys were pretty open about it. They said the new formula was designed for taste, not performance. The old formula would rehydrate you faster, but nobody would buy it voluntarily.
The claim, hydrates better than water. That was true for the original formula.
For the original formula, absolutely. For the modern version, it's true if you're sweating buckets and need the electrolytes. For everyone else, you're drinking expensive sugar water with a little salt. And the sugar content actually works against you if you're not exercising. You're just adding calories.
The sugar concentration in modern Gatorade is actually high enough that it can slow gastric emptying if you drink it at rest. There's a sweet spot, pardon the pun, where glucose concentration enhances absorption, and beyond that it starts to delay it. WHO or S sits at about 1.3% glucose. Gatorade is closer to 6%.
Which is soda territory. A can of Coke is about 10%.
The modern formulation is closer to a soft drink than to a rehydration solution.
They still put hydrates better than water on the label. I don't blame them. It sells. But the original formula earned that claim. The current one borrows it.
If someone like Daniel, post-surgical, trouble tolerating water, if he could get the original 1965 formula, would that actually be better for him than modern Gatorade?
Yes. Lower sugar, higher sodium, better match for what the gut needs when it's stressed. It tastes like salty lemonade and he'd probably hate it, but it'd work.
That's the fundamental tension in sports drink formulation. The physiologically optimal ratio for rehydration isn't the ratio that tastes good, and taste drives sales.
We had a saying on the QC floor, if it tastes good, the numbers are wrong.
Of course you did.
I still have the spec sheet somewhere. Laminated. They let's keep them when the plant switched over to the new automated testing system in 99.
The flame photometer era.
You had to calibrate it every morning with a standard solution. If the flame was too yellow, your sodium readings were garbage. I got very good at reading a flame.
When you see that hydrates better than water, claim on a bottle now. What do you think?
I think they're selling the memory of a product they stopped making 40 years ago.
There's a question that's been sitting with me through this whole discussion. If Gatorade's claim is legally puffery but physiologically real for a subset of people, post-surgical patients, endurance athletes, people with certain GI conditions, should the FDA require a qualifier on the label?
Something like hydrates better than water during prolonged exercise or when plain water is poorly tolerated.
Right. A statement that's actually honest about the context. Because right now, the claim functions as a blanket assertion, and the legal protection is that nobody should take it seriously, which is a strange place for a consumer product to live.
The alternative view is that the market has already sorted this out. The people who benefit from Gatorade, athletes, post-surgical patients, they figure it out through experience, the way Daniel did. And the people who don't benefit still buy it because it tastes good, and the marketing makes them feel like they're doing something healthy.
Which is its own kind of problem. The sugar content in Gatorade isn't trivial. 21 grams per 12 ounces, that's about 5 teaspoons. 2 bottles, and you've had more added sugar than the daily recommendation.
If you're drinking it because you think it's hydrating you better than water while you sit at your desk, you're just consuming empty calories under a health halo.
The health halo is the real marketing achievement. Gatorade has managed to position sugar water as a functional health product. That's remarkable.
What would a truly evidence-based post-surgical hydration drink look like? Something closer to the 1965 formula.
Closer to WHO oral rehydration solution, honestly. Lower sugar, higher sodium, maybe some potassium and magnesium. The challenge is palatability. ORS tastes like salt water with a hint of sweetness. Most people won't drink it unless they're ill. But for someone like Daniel who's using it therapeutically, a homemade version. Water, a measured amount of salt and sugar, would be both cheaper and more physiologically appropriate than Gatorade.
He could adjust the ratio to what his gut tolerates.
The WHO recipe is a starting point. If the sugar content feels too high or causes any GI issues, you can reduce it. If you need more sodium, you can add a little more salt. You can't do that with a bottle of Gatorade.
Daniel's experience is real, and the science supports it. The SGLT1 mechanism explains why an electrolyte sugar solution might move through a stressed gut more comfortably than plain water. The marketing is still overblown. Hydrates better than water? Is a statement about context, not a universal truth. But for a specific set of people, including post-surgical patients, it happens to be right.
The fact that the claim is legally protected as puffery means we're unlikely to see a more honest label anytime soon. The system works exactly as designed, for PepsiCo.
One thing I keep thinking about, if the original Gatorade formula was so much better for rehydration, and the company knows it, why not bring it back as a separate product? Call it Gatorade Classic or Gatorade Original. Market it to the people who actually need the higher electrolyte content.
Because the market for salty lemonade is tiny compared to the market for Glacier Freeze. And having a product on the shelf that's explicitly labeled as better for rehydration would implicitly undermine the claim on the regular bottles.
Right. You can't sell the real thing next to the diluted thing without admitting the diluted thing is diluted.
Which is exactly why they won't do it.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for keeping the show running, and for the flame photometer stories we didn't know we needed.
If you've got a question you want us to put under the microscope, or a product claim that's been bothering you, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We read everything.
We'll be back soon. Go drink some water. Or Gatorade, if that's what your gut prefers.
Just know which one you need and why.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.